kind of give you some history once we read this. Our text verse today is 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 12. But for the sake of context, I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. It says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark of the Lord was kept in a place, but the people did not feel the presence of God. The problem with the children of Israel is the sin that they had committed and the way that they had lived their lives following false idols and false gods had separated them from their relationship with God." Remember one time in the 53rd Psalm, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The children of Israel desired the joy of the presence of God. It says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. The word Ebenezer means the stone of help, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more to the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Go back and read the 12th verse again. It says, "And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Remember that Ebenezer means the stone of help. I want to give you just a little historical breakdown here and understanding. As you see here, beginning in the 7th verse, the Philistines are approaching Israel with all their kings. If you read back in this story, there were 5 kings. And this is not the first time that the children of Israel had seen the invading army of the Philistines. So if you go back those 20 years and you go back just prior to that, there was a time when the Philistines invaded. But when they evaded then, they actually just destroyed the children of Israel. If you read in one place, it said there were 30,000 men that died. The children of Israel were defeated by the army of the Philistines, and it was such that the ark of the Lord was taken. And the ark of the Lord, as it was taken by the Philistines, and I want you to understand this, this would not have happened unless God allowed it to happen. The children of Israel were out of the will of God. They were worshiping Balaam. They were worshiping the Ashtaroth. They had turned from serving the living God to following idols. And because they had turned from worshiping the living God and following idols, then God turned his back on them. He was not defending them. Now, if you read what happened in the 7th chapter, when the Philistines came, the Philistines didn't have to fight because God thundered upon them, and they were discomfited and they were defeated without the children of Israel having to fight. You know, if we look at this story and we understand, God always wanted a relationship, always wanted a close relationship with Israel. But doesn't it teach us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 8th chapter, that there is a reward for walking close to God? But there's also something to be expected when you walk away from God. Are we to expect something different today unless we walk close to God? How can we really expect to receive all the benefits of God connecting with us, protecting us, taking care of us, defeating our enemies, healing our diseases? If you understand what happens a few chapters before, when the Philistines took the Ark of the Lord, they took it and put it into the house of Dagon, their god. Dagon was a false god. He was the god of the Philistines. And as they left the Ark of the Lord in the house of Dagon, when they came back the next morning, the false god, the statue, was face down on its face before the Ark of the Lord. They stood Dagon back up, and when they came back the second day, not only was Dagon, the false god, face down, but this time he was face down and his head was removed and the palms of both of his hands were removed. Now, you got to understand some of these things about these false gods. We preached on this a few weeks ago. These false gods, especially one like Dagon, was used for sacrifice. Sometimes it was human sacrifice. What I want you to understand is they're no god but our God. Amen. And the only reason the Ark of the Lord would have even been there with the Philistines is because the children of Israel were under the judgment of God. Now, because the Ark of the Covenant was actually present amongst the Philistines, what happened is people began to die. People began to get disease and they were dying. They got near it because God's presence, and the Philistines began to be afraid, and they moved the ark from one city to another ark. And when it got there, people began to die and they began to be afraid. And then they began to move it amongst these five kings to a different city. And it got to the point that they say, oh no, don't bring the Ark of the Covenant of God here because we fear it. You know, those people over there may not be serving their God, but we know he's a real God. And it got to the point that they did not know what to do. Nobody wanted the Ark of the Lord. They had captured it because God allowed them to. But I want to tell you something. God's God, and you don't control him. What can we do? So they got their wise ones together, and they said, we're going to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Now, this is the Philistines. They had emerods, which is like cancers that was coming up on them. And they made golden images of their sickness, and they made golden images of mice, which represented the five kings, and they placed them in a box. And they put the Ark of the Lord in a wagon, and they took two kine, or two milk cows. And they put that Ark of the Lord in there, and they put that box with those offerings on the side. And one of the wise ones said, if it is the Lord, if it is the real, true, and living God that has punished us, then when these cows leave here, they're going to know exactly where to go. Well, you know what happened? They turned those two cows loose with the Ark of the Lord, and I guess you read your Bible, you understand, it went straight home to where it would belong. And if you read the scripture, it said along the way that the cows were lowing. Have you ever thought about what happened on the night when Jesus Christ was born? what happened with the cows and what happened with the sheep, and do they ever bow down? I want to tell you something, folks. We need to understand how to reverence a God that's alive. They lowed and they sang until they took the ark of the Lord back to the place where it belonged. Now, when the ark of the covenant of God arrived back, the children of Israel had not repented and got right with God. That's why when we read, we understand that it weren't into the men of Kirjath-Jearim. They came, they fetched the ark, and it went to the house of Abinadab, and Eleazar, his son, was sanctified to keep the ark. But for 20 years, the children of Israel were still not in connection with God until they cried out to Samuel, and he began to pray for them. And he told them, if you do return unto the Lord this day with all of your hearts, put away the strange gods, put away the things that you've done that has caused the presence of God to be removed from you. He said, I want you to understand, all God's ever wanted is to love you, to bless everything that you have. But you got to cry out to him. As this was all going on and Samuel was preaching to the people, the Philistines saw them gathering together, and they come up again, and they remember what happened the last time when the Philistine army came against them, and they said, cry on, Samuel, pray on, pray for us. And he did. And he set up the stone between the two cities, and he called it Ebenezer, a stone of help. And you can also call it a remembering stone. Now, if you would just imagine as the children of Israel go out and they took it seriously, we need to take it seriously today. When they walked by the stone and they saw Samuel, who was God's man, and they were asking him to pray, as they went that way, it was because they feared for their lives. Not only did they fear for their lives, but they feared for the lives of their children and their families. And I want you to understand something. Sometimes, man of God and woman of God, that if you don't do the right thing, what's standing between you and the enemy that's outside the doors in your family? What's standing between you and the devil? What's standing between you and a world and a society that's drifting farther away from God if you don't stand? And when we see the enemy out there and we know we're going to have to face them, as we pass by the Ebenezer stone, we're crying out for God to help. But where are we when we're walking back with victory and we pass by it? Where are our hearts then? As the people walk back by that stone of help, was a remembering stone. J. Hudson Taylor, missionary, founder of the China Inland Mission in the late 1800s, he had a plaque on his home on the wall that read this: the Lord has helped us to this point, and he will see to it from now on. It's pretty simple. But what he's saying is, it's not about us, it's about him. If we're going to get help, we're going to get it from God. We're not going to defeat our enemies, win our battles, get everything that we need in this life that we need to be able to stand on our own. We got to be able to remember, and we got to understand where our help comes from. You see, for J. Hudson Taylor, this plaque that was on his wall, it was his Ebenezer. It was his remembering stone that reminded him of what God had done in the past, helping him understand where he stands today to realize that God can help him in the future. Now, I want to stand here before you, and I want to ask this question of myself. Why is it that we stand here, we come to church, and we're here today at this point in our lives, and we've still got issues, we've still got struggles, we've still got questions, we've still got problems? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they say, you get to a certain age, you just have to retire so you can go to all the doctor appointments because you can't work every day and get to all of them. I want to tell you something, folks. You're never going to not have problems. You're never going to not have burdens. You're never going to not have something to pray about. You're never going to not have something that you're going to have to trust God about. You think, well, I've learned it. I mean, God moved. God's going to move. No. I'll tell you what we need. We need to remember. Because all of us struggle. All of us need God to remind us. It could be a plaque like it was for J. Hudson Taylor. It could be a place that you go to. It could be a moment in time that's etched in your memory that you go back to. It's like this, the day that Jesus saved me. You know, I got saved when I was 12 years old. Have you ever had the devil try to tell you you're not saved? Has he ever tried to tell you, you know, you just did or you did so and so. Look at the way you're living. How in the world can you be saved? You need to learn as a Christian the difference between the Holy Spirit and the offending spirit. You know, there's been times in my life that I've not been where God wanted me to be. I may not be walking where God wants me to walk, but you know, I can remember the day when the Lord saved me. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine yesterday, as I said, and we were talking about what it used to be like growing up down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And I said, so many memories etched in my mind. I said, I can remember the day that I got saved. It was at a revival at Welcome Hill Baptist Church when Brother Earl Partain was down there preaching a revival for my dad. I can remember exactly where I was standing in the church when the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me for the first time. I was right here on the second row on the end, and when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, it was just as distinct, more so today, this many years ago, as someone hitting me in the face with a cup of cold ice water. Because the Holy Spirit of God said, He's talking to you. You see, I remember the place. Well, what day was it? I don't remember that. Some people say, well, if you can't remember the time and the place, it was 8 o'clock. I remember the voice of God. I know that I was 12. Sometimes you can even remember maybe when God called you. I can remember that. I got saved when I was 12, but when I was in the 9th grade, at Lithia Springs High School, for those of you familiar with the school, you had the lunchroom, you had an auditorium that went down to the stage, and you had a double doors on each side. It was on this side over here, I was about to walk through the double doors going back to class, not because I wanted to go, had to go. But I was walking that way, and God spoke to me, and this is what He said through His Spirit. He said, I've got something for you to do. Folks, I knew what it was. I wasn't ready. It wasn't time. But it was that day in the 9th grade at Lithia Springs High School that God called me to the ministry. It wasn't because I wanted to. But I remember that day. What about a place where you were surrendered? You see, I got saved when I was 12. I was called when I was in the 9th grade, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't surrendered. But I remember when I surrendered to God. I surrendered to God when I was 18 years old. I was at Zion Hill Baptist Church on a Sunday afternoon, and I was torn to pieces. I was being pulled what I felt like in multiple directions. I was trying to make decisions about my life. I was trying to make decisions about relationships. And I went back to the church on a Sunday afternoon. Nobody was there but me. I had a key. I was the preacher's son. I went into the Sunday school room that we had Sunday school in. And I laid down on my face on the carpet. Torn up about what am I going to do? Have you ever had thoughts, God, what is going to happen in my life? God, where am I going to live? What kind of life am I going to have? Am I going to be able to make a living? Who am I going to be spending my life with? I was in all of those places. But you know, the number one thing that I needed to do is take all of those burdens, all of those things, and bring them to the feet of Jesus and give them to Him. I did it that Sunday afternoon. Because I laid down prostrate on my face and I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I surrender. Whoever you want me to be with, I surrender. Wherever you want me to work, I surrender. Whoever it is I should or not spend my life with, God, I surrender. And from that point forth, Folks, I want to tell you something. There ain't been much difference from then to who I am today because I surrendered to God. And I surrendered on that day. You know, those are Ebenezers in my life that I go back to. And I've got some more. On the wall in my hall at my house, the hall, I got two documents on the wall. One of them is a license to preach. And I just have you know I didn't get it over the internet. You can get one if you want it, by the way. The other one is an ordination certificate where I was ordained to ministry. I was licensed to preach in 1986, and I was ordained in 1989. And I'll tell you why that's significant to me, and I'll tell you why these are Ebenezers in my life, because there have been times since then, since I surrendered to God, that the devil has told me you're no good. He's told me you're not going to make it. He's told me things are not going to work out, and he said you're just not fit. Have you ever been told that by the enemy? And I've had to go back and get those documents off, and I read the names that signed it, and I walk through my mind of that service, and I remember the message that Brother Harley Kimmons preached when I was ordained, and I flip it over like you do, and I read the names on the back. You know, most of those people have already gone to be with the Lord, but those are Ebenezers in my life that remember that there is a God, and there were people that had confidence in me, and I want you to understand something today. There needs to be some Ebenezers in your life. You see, we may not have a rock like they had that they walked by, but sometimes you need a date or a place to go back to, a significant time that you can remember in your relationship with God where the help of God and God's provision impacted you. Now, why? Sometimes we need to go back to Ebenezer because we need to remember God's touch. Do you remember the day when the Lord saved your soul? What do you remember? Do you remember the place? Do you remember the message? You know, the truth is, and I mentioned this last Sunday, sometimes you may not week to week remember the message. It's like trying to remember who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. I laugh about it. But I tell you what you won't forget is the touch of God. Sometimes we need to remember God's touch and how God has touched us. But also sometimes we need to remember God's blessings. You see, God has been good to us. God has been good to America. God has been good to Hiram First Baptist Church. And I'll truly tell you today as I stand here before you that God has treated me better than I have treated him. He has treated me better than I deserve. When I consider his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace and his kindness. You see, the children of Israel, they got to the point that they had gotten so far away from God that they began to long for that relationship with God. Sometimes I have to remind myself how good God's been. Why? Because you're going to keep having things that come up. You're going to keep having concerns. You're going to keep having problems and struggles as long as you're living in this life and you're living in the flesh. But I think we need some Ebenezers to help us get past those things. In the book of Psalms, in the 116th chapter, the verses, there in one place it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me?" See, I want to remember God's touch. I want to remember God's blessing. Sometimes we need to consider this stone, the stone of God's provision. You know, the missionary had it up on the wall, and he said, "The Lord has helped us to this point, and he will see to it from now on." Can we not say that as long as we walk with God, that God's been faithful? More faithful to me than I've been to him. Can I not say that when I could not, God could? Many times in my life, whether it be ministry, my family, my job, anything that I deal with, there are a lot of times that I've had to come before God and simply say this, "God, I cannot do it, but you can." Yeah, Have you ever just said this, God, if it's going to get done, it's up to you. And then you just wait on Him. Because we can't. You see, the reality, and I think we need to remember this, the Lord is our provider, not man. Doesn't mean you ought not to go down to the job and do your best. I can remember my dad, he used to, and I started working with him when I was 12 years old. He paid me 50 cents an hour to sand. How many of y'all ever sanded with sandpaper? I used to come home when I was a kid and wouldn't have no fingerprints. Here I am trying to work. My mama's fussing at him for making me do it. And there I am working, and I'm thinking, this ain't much money to be doing this. And my daddy would quote scripture to me out of Colossians. He said, son, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And he lived that life faithfully in front of me. And, you know, it helped me, obviously, because he was so faithful to be able to see God. See, as I stand here before you today, yeah, I had a good dad, but I don't worship him. I worship the God that he worshiped. And by the way that he lived, he just showed me that it worked. Because I saw how God was our provider. We also need this stone. We need to remember God's promises. You know, when we're down, when we're troubled, when we don't think we understand exactly what's going to happen, we got to remember that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. Now, when I read these things, and especially as we get older in our lives, we want to remember he said he'd never leave us. We want to remember that he's preparing a place for us, but we also want to remember that he's coming back for us. Amen. Have you ever had a time in your life that you really needed that stone of remembrance? There's something that comes to my mind that happened earlier in this year that really touched our heart, my wife and I. There was a family back in the spring that was over at Wise Lake. They had a little blonde-headed boy, and he was the cutest thing. And somehow or another, he got down to the water. And they found him, he was in the water, and they got him out, and they tried to revive him. The little boy didn't make it. You ever had tragedy in your life? You ever had times that you questioned God and you wondered where God was at and you said, God, what are you doing? God, why did this happen to me? God, I don't understand what's going on. I've seen people lose their faith, supposedly, because they lost a grandmother that was 80 or 85 years old. I want to remind all of you, we're not going to be here forever. And if we're Christians and we believe in God, that we believe what the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, it's not going to be but just a short period of time that all of us are going to be together with God. Amen. I lost a little sister at 3 years old with cancer. My dad was a 25-year-old pastor. We question. I've had friends that have lost children, young people. I've done funerals since I've been at this church of all ages. Sometimes people understand their loved ones are going to be with God. Sometimes they struggle. And you know, the reality of it is we grieve because we love them. Yes, we do question God because we don't fully understand. But sometimes you need a stone to remember who God is. And it's not when things are going well. It's not when you just got the promotion. It's not when you pay the final debt and you pay off your house and everything is going right. It's the times that are the darkest moments when you need God the most. I looked at some posts of this little boy. Prayers were going up. You ever heard anybody say, well, if you really believed, and then they tell you they fill in the blank. But if we really believe, we need to go back to the stone. There were verses of scripture all around the room. People were praying. But the little boy didn't make it. And I saw a post from his mother that drove its way down into my heart. And it became a stone for me. The mother of the little 5-year-old boy was leaning over him and holding him for the last time. And she sent out this post. She said, "I'm not going to lose my faith. And you don't lose yours." You know, because a lot of times what happens in our lives, you know, the Philistines are coming. The enemy's out there. There's trouble. There's heartache. We need to go back to the place that God has brought us from and remember that every promise of God is sure and every promise of God is going to stand. And that God has not changed. Doesn't mean it's not hard sometimes. We go by the stone as we're going to battle. Don't forget the stone when you're coming back after victory. You see, all we all know need to remember, also need to remember God's position. This is something we need to be reminded of. The Lord, He is God, and we are not. Now, if you read the scripture, Dagon, the false god, he learned this. Of course, he was just a statue. And if you know anything about the false gods, he was just enriched with power from the enemy. That's the only power he had. Folks, there's two powers. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Every false religion, every gang, every false god, he gets his power from the devil. Period. There is no other power. Dagon learned who God was. The Philistines learned who God was. We as Christians should learn who God is. Reverence Him, have godly fear and respect for Him, and worship Him. You see, I believe that a personal relationship with God, He's like your Heavenly Father. In Galatians, He is Abba, Father. And we go to Him and we talk to Him. And I was thinking about this, and I'm going to be done in just a minute. It's like prayer. Speaking to a man yesterday, and he was talking about having knee replacements. He said, "Oh, I still get down on my knees and pray, but I just fold towels up so it don't hurt as much." And for a minute, I thought about it, and I thought about how much time I spent on my knees. And I realized it probably wasn't enough. But then I thought about this. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You got to keep the lines of communication open between you and God all the time. And when you do that, you don't talk to God like He's off somewhere on a great throne and He's unapproachable, but you talk to Him just like He is your Abba, Father. You see, remember Ebenezer means to remember where God has brought us from. There's a song that Kendra and I used to sing years ago. It says, "Remind me, dear Lord." It's got these words in it. It says, "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord." Says, "The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord." Maybe today, the reason God put this on my heart, and this message has been on my heart for several weeks and hasn't left, is maybe somebody just needs to remember what God's done. Maybe you need to remember who God is. Are you struggling? Do you have battles? Remember who God is. Maybe you've heard about Him, but you don't know Him. And you need to come to Him. We're going to ask them to play a song, and this is our open invitation. The altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open. Folks, we believe in prayer here. We believe you come to God and you bring your burdens, and maybe it could be like this. Maybe your Ebenezer is waiting for you right here. It could be today that God's calling somebody. It could be today that somebody needs to completely surrender to God. So I'll ask you to rise to your feet if God has spoke to your heart. Ask you to please be obedient to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead if you wouldn't play.